It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. In 2011, tens of thousands of protesters at the state capitol tried to stop then-Governor Scott Walker's signature legislation to end most collective bargaining rights for public employees.
Act 10 has been on the books for 13 years. Now, as a Dane County judge strikes down much of Act 10 this week, ruling it unconstitutional, we find out what this moment is like for unions and public sector employees.
A note ahead of the conversation, Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the University of Wisconsin-Madison and the Educational Communications Board, a state agency.
Here to talk about how public workers are reacting to the news is John Shelton, professor and chair of Democracy and Justice Studies at UW-Green Bay. He's also Vice President of American Federation of Teachers, Wisconsin. John, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Hey, thanks for having me today, Kate. This is a very encouraging day for us.
Well, let's talk about what the judge saw here and this ruling. What legal reasoning did the judge use?
Well, so the judge used what's called Equal Protection Clause of the Constitution, which says that you can't treat different groups of people or the same similar groups of people differently under the law. So, you know, it says basically that since public safety workers have access to a greater suite of collective bargaining rights, essentially, than most other state employees and K-12 teachers and tech college workers and graduate workers at UW-Madison, that that's unconstitutional. You can't treat similar groups of people differently. And so the judge basically said, since that's the case, I have to strike down all of the collective bargaining aspects of Act 10. So that means that instead of taking away rights from say public safety workers, the assumption here is that all public employees that are being treated differently would have access to those same rights, which was the case before Act 10. So yeah. It's a monumental step.
A monumental step, and I want to get more into that in just a moment. But why would the law's definition of a public safety employee be legally problematic now in this particular situation and in the future if this law would stay in place?
Well, this particular aspect of the law has never really been challenged in the courts. So this is a kind of a unique way of challenging this under in the state of Wisconsin. And, you know, what the judge looked at is how these two categories of, right, because he said, some of the attorneys said, you know, you can carve out different rights and responsibilities for different classes of workers. What the judge said is that the way public safety workers were defined really was kind of capricious, mm-hmm. because, you know, you had some public safety workers, like, say, you know, local police department, local police officers, and Capitol Police treated differently under the law. So what he argued is that, in effect, these distinctions were made pretty arbitrarily. And though the judge's decision didn't say this, the plaintiffs argued in the courts that, you know, this was done, you know, largely for political reasons, right? That, mm-hmm. you know, certain constituencies were seen as being more amenable to, the political interests of the legislature, and some were not. So you can't do that, right? You can't treat different, different groups of people, similar groups of people differently for reasons that don't make sense. And so for that reason, that violates equal protection.
Now, the president of American Federation of Teachers, Randy Weingarten, weighed in, said in a statement that this decision is, quote, a big deal. You are the Wisconsin Group's vice president of higher education. How does your organization view this moment?
So we view this as a really, really important step to restoring the full, you know, collective bargaining rights that we believe that all public employees in the state are entitled to. You know, Act 10, in our view, was really put into place, frankly, for political reasons, right? I mean, it made public employees undergo very onerous annual elections, standards of which many federal office holders, in Congress, might not be put into office if they had to abide by those standards, and it restricted the things that most public employees could bargain over, things like for K-12 teachers class sizes, but it really was, in my view, in our view, political, because one of the things Act 10 did is it prevented employees from having their union dues deducted by their employer. Now that's revenue neutral. It was strictly done to make it more difficult for public employees to organize and exercise their First Amendment rights. So this is a big step in that direction. Now, we obviously have a long way to go, and my guess is we'll get into that. I mean, this you already noted that this has been appealed, and it will likely be appealed to the state Supreme Court. But the way I've been describing this to people is that this decision here is really like the foundation of fully restoring meaningful collective bargaining rights, right? You can't build a house without a good foundation, but a foundation doesn't guarantee anything. So we've still got a ways to go, but we really see this as a monumental step in the right direction.
We're talking about a Dane County judge overturning key parts of the landmark Act 10 in Wisconsin, what it means to restore collective bargaining for public employees in the state. And we have John Shelton with us, professor and chair of Democracy and Justice Studies at UW-Green Bay, also an office member for the American Federation of Teachers, Wisconsin. John, in reaction to this ruling, Republican lawmakers claim that the law has saved taxpayers more than $16 billion. Do those savings justify curtailing public union rights?
Well, I mean, by that logic, you could say just close down all the public schools and we'd save the taxpayers lots and lots of money. Here's what things look like right now. And I mean, I could talk about other public employees, but maybe I'll just focus on K-12 education. Right now, we have over a $4 billion surplus in the state. And that surplus is, frankly, not coming from, excessive taxes on millionaires and billionaires. It's coming at the expense of our teachers, the teachers who I talk to every day in our K-12 system and some of our K-12 unions through FT Wisconsin. And, look at what's happened to the state of public education here, right? I mean, the average starting salary for teachers right now is 38th in the nation. Department of Public Instruction just this year put out a study saying that about 40% of first-year teachers leave the state or leave the profession after 6 years. I think WPR actually reported on that. And so, if that's the outcome that you want from your education system, sure, you could save some money. But the reality is that what we're seeing is that our education system in this state, our public education system, the thing that our future literally relies on, everything from making sure our kids, can read and write well, understand democracy, take civics, all those things, to have a teaching force that feels under duress, that's leaving the profession where teachers are being turned over at school district after school district. And that's hitting rural districts hardest, by the way, some of the constituencies that often support Republican legislators. And so, I guess you could argue that this has saved some money, but it's done so at the expense of our public education system and at the expense of our teachers and at the expense of our most vulnerable students. That's how I would respond to that.
But I wonder if school districts are ready for this moment. Going to referendum, trying to balance budgets and pay salaries as they are. There was an April report from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty estimating that restoring collective bargaining for teacher salaries could cost districts and the state hundreds of millions of dollars a year. Are districts ready for this?
Well, I mean, there are things that we need to have long-term conversations about, right? I mean, one, you think about the system of funding public education in this state, which is deeply broken, right? Mm-hmm. And, I would take a look at DPI Superintendent Jill Underley's proposed budget, which basically said, like, we should be funding special education at a much higher level instead of the very low rates. I think it's around 30% right now in the state that school districts get reimbursed. So, in the long run, we do need to think about those kinds of things, too. It's not sustainable to keep having school district after school district go to referendum. But I think there's a misconception about teacher unions that, like, what we do every day when we're, advocating for the resources that we need is that, we're out to get every last dollar. No teacher union in this state wants to, like, bankrupt the school district they're in. So, mm-hmm. To me, that this is really about collective voice than it is anything. When I talk to K-12 teachers every day, yes, many of them feel like they don't make enough money. And that's absolutely true. And we have to do something about that. But the biggest thing Act 10 did was take away their voice, right? I mean, In places where teachers could no longer bargain over things like class sizes and professional developments, they felt like they feel like, you know, they're being treated as people who are not professionals and not able to serve their students the way that they need to. And so, you know, and obviously lots of our unions continue to advocate for those things, and they've done so very well informally. But collective bargaining is a tool, and having that tool to be able to have, you know, a stronger seat at the table with district administration is only going to help students in the long run. And teacher unions are going to, I can promise you that our unions in AFT Wisconsin are going to work with the school districts to try and make sure that students get everything that they need. And so that's what this is really about. And any efforts to try and say that that K-12 teacher unions are going to like bankrupt school districts is just disingenuous.
John, in our final moments together, I mean, it's been 13 years, a generation. Will rebuilding public sector unions be a challenge? Is there the will to reorganize workers? Is there that knowledge?
There absolutely will be a challenge. But what I want to say is that we haven't gone away, right? I mean, in many of those districts where we don't have collective bargaining, there is still a strong teacher union. I mean, some of our districts, McFarland, Hortonville, Menasha, they all have strong teacher unions just in my part of the state, who are still advocating for the things that, you know, their students need, because they believe in that every day. All those union leaders believe in that, and they fight for it. This is simply another tool that unions can use to advocate for those things. So it will take time, you know, to get to a point where our public education system is the way that it needs to look. But teacher unions are a part of that answer. So to answer your question, you know, this is a really good step in a direction toward that.
John, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, anytime, and glad you're doing the story.
John Shelton is professor and chair of democracy and justice studies at UW Green Bay. He was with us to talk about a Dane County judge's ruling this week overturning Act 10 and how public sector workers may respond having collective bargaining rights restored.
Coming up on Wisconsin Today, with the rise of online sports betting and ads for online sports books, we'll look at the risks of gambling addiction here in Wisconsin and some of the symptoms.
Their emotions are unstable and oftentimes directed by times they win, times when they lose. Because of the unpredictability of that behavior, it creates instability in their emotions as well.
That's coming up on WPR News.